Reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 to 10, and can be found on page 1166 of the Church Bibles. Paul's vision and his thorn. I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. But God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, loving God, thank you for your word to us. Thank you that it brings light to us and that we can grow and encounter you in it. So may our hearts be open to what you have to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I don't know what you feel about rejoicing in your weaknesses, saying thank you to God for when people insult you and all those things. Doesn't seem like something that would be a natural course of action. In our reading today, we're hearing from the Apostle Paul, and he cuts to the chase at this point. And what's been happening here is that there have been this bunch of super apostles, he calls them. Actually, he's being slightly sarcastic when he does that, but he calls them these super apostles, these new teachers, and they're claiming to really be better apostles than Paul. These super apostles are well read, they're trained in arguing their point, they're charismatic. Their star is rising. They are the new speaker in town, or that new author which you must read. And in that, they are strong. And because they are strong in this, they say, God can use them. They are much better prepared to being apostles than someone like Paul. And perhaps they can't really use Paul, who's a bit weak. So I thought, well, what does it mean to be strong? And then I was thinking, some things that appear fragile actually can be quite strong. So this could go one of two ways. Can I ask you guys at the back, because you're just the right sort of height and age to help me with my experiment. So I know I haven't asked you beforehand. This might be a bit embarrassing to ask you to come up. But I need someone who's not quite too little to do this and who's going to be vaguely sensible. So these are, I feel like a magician. Can we just, these are proper eggs, aren't they? You can have a feel of them. Don't break them. And I haven't, you can just about feel them moving about inside, so I haven't boiled them or anything like that. They are actually proper eggs. Okay, so we'll put them in here. We're going to do a little experiment now. I just put this on the top so that it gives us a sort of flat surface. very gently, see if you can balance that on top of your head. See, it's quite heavy, isn't it? It's quite a heavy melon. So very gently. It's got to go off. No, it's fine. Fine, just try and balance it. Okay, so we've managed to... Pam, you can verify. It's a very heavy melon. Okay. Should we see if we can... very gently. Put it. How's it holding up? Are we doing all right? Okay. So our eggs are managing. Do you think if we put another one of these on top of them, how do you think they'll do? You know when something works at home and then you just think, okay, all right, so we're doing quite well. I wonder how far we can go with this. I actually genuinely don't know how far we can go with this. So I thought maybe... Are we all right? It's good. Good. Tension building in the congregation. So I was thinking we could try and see how many of these. So who did the last... No, you stick that there. Who, have you got Bibles in the back of your seats? How far are we going to go? What do you think? I mean, there's a whole kind of balance thing going on here as well, isn't there? There we go. Hey, Rafi, thank you, that's perfect. Testing your, thank you very much. Yeah, go on. Yeah. Thank you for the musical. Wow. Do you know what? Thank you. I'm just going to... I think that's probably enough now. Only because I am going to stop it at five, I think, and then we can... So you get to put the last... We've got four Bibles in there at the minute. They're quite heavy. Yeah, last one. And then we can rejoice. It's like Jenga, isn't it? You put it down and then you run away, or... Right. Thank you. I think we can give you a round of applause. So, well, they've held up. I don't quite know how much weight that is on there, but it's quite a lot of weight. There are six eggs there. They're not just one egg there. But yeah, so something which, they were proper eggs. Eggs, you know, we can crack them. They can come out, you know, we can think of them as being quite fragile. But there they are, bearing that weight. And maybe afterwards we can see how long they would actually last with how many we could stack on top. So... Some things which seem weak and fragile sometimes have a hidden strength. If you're going to do this experiment at home, then, you know, make sure you've got some towels around or something. But Paul, in his kind of characteristic way, what he's doing here when it's being claimed that because he is weak, he's not really able to serve God in the same way as these super apostles, he pulls the rug from under their feet. Because there are two things to note here. One, that actually Paul was pretty smart. And he was the best at being Jewish. So when he was Jewish, before he was converted, he was the Pharisee of Pharisees. And he was really educated to quite a high level. When he became an apostle... He also had this significant experience. So he was actually taken up to heaven in a vision. And he experienced, he met the risen Jesus. And he experienced glory. So actually, if anyone has a reason to boast about how good a Christian they are, how much God speaks to them, how much they can serve God, it's Paul. But first, well, he does two things here. He's trying to remind them not to get into a competition with one another. That's why he goes down this route. Because, he says, actually, if you get into a competition with me about this, then I'm going to win. So he says, it is necessary to boast. You've made me do it. I'm really annoyed about the fact that I have to boast about my qualifications to you, but you've made me do it. What can I do? Then he says, nothing is gained by it, but I will go on to talk about my visions and revelations of the Lord. I've had more visions than you, and better. And then he says, I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. A friend of mine. And I know that such a person was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. I know something you don't know. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast. But if I wish to boast, which I don't, I wouldn't be foolish, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations that I have had. So just to be clear, he's not boasting, but if he did, he wins. And I think Paul is making this point because he just wants us not to go down this route at all. Let's not be those who compare our Christianity with the person sat next to us. Is God speaking to them more? Is God able to use them more? Because it's not actually going to bring us closer to God, those kind of comparisons. But mainly, I think he wants to drive home this point that actually it is in those places where we are weak that it's clear to everybody that any strength we have is in God. And now we're going to stop talking about eggs and I'm going to start talking about shells. Now, I couldn't find my lovely shell this morning, which is very sad for me. So we look at this picture, this lovely shell on the screen here. This beautiful shell is very resilient. It's a strong shell. It can withstand quite significant pressure for its size. And it can resist outside forces. It can resist being completely fractured by outside forces. Can anyone guess how it does that? What do you think is one of its properties that might help it to be resilient? Anyone going to hazard a guess? Yes. Sorry, because it's hard. It is hard. But I will tell you that if you zoomed in with a microscope on, you see that shiny layer? Does anyone know what that's called? Do you know? Yeah. Do you know? Yeah, it's mother of pearl. It's mother of pearl. So that's, well, anyway, I won't go into that, but it's called mother of pearl. And that particular shiny layer, when you zoom in on it, you can see what it's made up of. And it's actually made up of lots of cracks. Lots of cracks. And what happens when this material is impacted from the outside is that it might get one more crack. So it's not that it remains uncracked by the forces that impact it. But what happens is that when that force comes into it, there's a little crack, and then all of the energy is dispersed through the other cracks in the material. And it prevents that little crack becoming a big crack and eventually being a fatal fracture for the shell. The shell stays intact. If the shell material was actually completely solid, then it would be brittle and it would shatter when it was impacted by outside forces. And I think that one of the ironies that we have sometimes is that when we start to try to paste a sort of solid wall, a defensive wall over the things where we are weak, where we are vulnerable, either things that have happened to us in life which have formed us and which have made us a little bit soft in those areas. When we do that, actually, we can create the very thing that we're afraid of. So if we create a solid wall around ourselves, we make ourselves brittle, we make ourselves unbending, and we actually make ourselves weak and fragile. In allowing our weaknesses to be what they are, and I'm not talking about, you know, sinful things, I'm talking about the things when life happens to us. And we all have that. Life has happened to us and has cracked us in some ways. And if we allow those to be what they are, if we come to terms with this sort of cracked formation of the material of our lives, then we can find that those are the spaces which bring us to life. Those are the spaces where we can adapt to other situations around us, where we find ourselves flexible, where we're able to bend when other things impact us from the outside. Those are the places where we are weak, where actually we find ourselves strong. Adaptability and flexibility. Because these are two things. These are the places where God can enter in. And it is possible to build a wall and to stop God from transforming us. But also, those are actually the places from which we can truly serve God. You know, it's not that God's going to come in and make us super apostles, super people, in order to serve God, but that actually it's out of that weakness that we can serve. In Scripture, it often talks about Christians as being those who move from having hearts of stone to having hearts of flesh. So going from those who have hard and brittle and fragile, inflexible hearts to being those who have those soft and vulnerable hearts. And the difficulty, of course, is that that means we can get hurt. And so it is ever so tempting, isn't it, to build that wall to defend ourselves. But all around us, in Scripture, in Scripture and in nature, in the creation that God has made us, we can see that actually in God's kingdom, it really is upside down. It really is upside down. We talk about that a bit, and it's not just a thing that we say. It's true. The strong are weak, and what is considered weak becomes strong. So Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness." And therefore, says Paul, out of that I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. So we're going to sing now. We're going to leave this here, and then at the end, once we've dismissed, we can have a game where we do find out how strong these eggs are, okay? But for now, they're quite a good visible sign of what we've been talking about. When I'm weak, then I am strong.